Hello, and welcome to another edition of the ChannelBuzz.ca podcast. I'm Robert Dutt, editor of ChannelBuzz.ca, and as usual, your host for the podcast. Today, the New Year's podcast series continues with Mark Collins, channel chief for Cisco Canada. Cisco had a big 2016, its first full year under new CEO Chuck Robbins, as it continued to reinvent itself as a software company, perhaps even more so one heavily based on recurring revenues for both it and partners. Mark will walk us through some of the highlights that we've seen in 2016 and share some thoughts on where Cisco and the Canadian channel in general is headed for 2017. So let's get right into it, my interview with Mark Collins. Mark, thanks again for taking the time.
Always good to hear from you, Rob.
Once again, taking a look back at the year that was 2016, it feels like this is the year that the whole digital transformation message really became kind of the centerpiece and the biggest part of the message that Cisco's putting out there. Also, the first full year for Chuck Robbins as CEO. At a high level, what did you see as sort of the highlights for Cisco and Cisco Canada in particular in 2016?
Sure, Rob. Thanks for the question. I'd say I'd answer that question really looking at it from two perspectives. One, where you started the question really is around, digitization as a trend that's changing, business and society. And what I saw in the past year was comparing it to prior years, we've been talking about digitization with our customers and partners for, 3 or 4 years now. And if you look back, this was a vision and a trend that we saw when we looked at what the future was shaping up to look like. And we were sharing a lot of these ideas with customers. And, some days we'd be telling this story and we would get some quizzical looks and, partners would ask questions around, okay, so what do we do with this? And it was very much a curiosity, a fascination, an art of the possible conversation. And then this past year, I would say we really crossed the chasm and we're in a place now where it's the new normal and the customers and partners are asking different questions. Now it's about, what can we do and how fast can we go to be a part of this? So I think we've now moved that to the mainstream, and technologies like mobility and security as a result are just becoming more pervasive and more critical than ever. So we're really seeing digitization in all businesses, whether it be hospitality businesses, public sector, healthcare, education, manufacturing. Everybody is wanting to talk about how can they hyperconnect their environments and adjust their business models to ensure that they're competitive in the new digitized world. So this is a very, very exciting time for the, the industry view of how we engage with our partners and our customers. And on the other side, I would say from a technology perspective, looking back, I mean, it's the obvious trend that we've all been watching and participating in a long time around cloud. It was great to be at Partner Summit and hear Chuck really clearly articulate our role in cloud, which is, the infrastructure and the enabler of cloud, and whether it be, the cloud management of technology, the cloud delivery of security services, collaboration in the cloud, and the launch of Spark, which was an exciting time for our company. Cloud just continues to march forward as an unstoppable force in the industry. And we're seeing it touch more and more of our product lines, whether it be the amazing growth we've seen in Meraki, the launch of Spark, as I said earlier, and the cloud capabilities in our security technologies. We're just seeing it become a pervasive part of what we do and how we sell and how we work along with our partners day in and day out, and it's become a critical part of what we are and how we actually deliver value. So those are two huge things, and watching Chuck really stitch that together in a cohesive and clear story at Partner Summit in San Francisco, I thought it was a great day, and seeing the effect of that has been, I think, very positive for us and for our partner community.
Okay. Digital transformation in the channel seems to take on a number of different forms and require a number of different skills, both in terms of, building some vertical expertise and looking into areas that maybe haven't been under IT purview, both in terms of products, technology departments, and people, executives from line of business, for example. Among partners who've been successful, what have you seen as some of the common things that they're doing to sort of maximize their investment and the return on that investment in this digital transformation opportunity?
Sure. It's a good question. So I would say that we've been on this journey together with our partners, and that is, changing the conversations that we have and who we have the conversations with. And I think you really alluded to it in the question, and that is, if you look at the way we worked together in the past, we, along with our partners, historically sold technologies to technologists, executives speaking to CIOs, and that continues today. I think it's well understood that the power of IT and the criticality of the skills and knowledge that IT brings to the table was important yesterday, is important today, and will be important tomorrow. So the need to be able to deliver a compelling technology story, from a capability perspective, from the technology itself, and the various services that our partners offer, that's absolutely fundamental. But I think that the additional dimension to this that wasn't necessarily there in a big way in the past that now is becoming increasingly critical is, why is the technology needed? What impact is it intended to have on the business? Who are the stakeholders, and why a project is going to be executed? How is it going to be funded, and how is success going to be measured? So the ability for us to internally transform, as well as have a vested interest in the evolution of our partners, is absolutely critical, because we all need to understand, when we look around the boardroom table, who's at the table and what their stake is in the success and the measurements of success of what we're doing. So you'll hear more and more this notion of having the line of business conversation, which just means, like you said and implied in the question, what business is this company in? How do they create value? Who do they compete with? Who are their customers? And understanding what they need in order to continue to compete and differentiate themselves, and what technology can do to feed that, and how they ultimately consume that technology, because the flexibility with which they're able to get access to the benefits of technology, speed to market, is becoming increasingly critical. It's no longer the days of, putting in a change order and doing a refresh of technology because the old stuff's got to be replaced with the new stuff. Mm-hmm. It's very much a discussion now of, what does the business need to do in order to be better, faster, stronger? And as I said earlier, as a result, how can technology support that, feed that, add value to that? So there's ultimately a line of business conversation that is almost indistinguishable from some of the value that IT are seeking, because at the end of the day, they need to work together. Equally, we need to understand the unique needs of both, because technology is becoming pervasive in many, many things where it didn't exist before, connected machines and cars and various different devices. And so the previous stakeholders or stewards of those different technologies and devices, they haven't necessarily had to have a seamless relationship with IP. So us being, brokers and ambassadors as technology and line of business come together is a critical role that we have to play as well, to help them culturally make the transition of the Internet of Things and pervasive use of technology and all the things that they do.
All right. I want to touch a little bit on partner business models. You touched on sort of consumption and certainly consumption, subscription, other recurring revenue-centric ideas are a big part of what you guys are focusing on, what the industry is focusing on, what a lot of solution providers are focusing on. A few years ago, perhaps that was more of a challenge for a lot of partners to figure out how that kind of model fits in with the traditional channel sales model. Have you seen that sort of work itself out, and what are some of the best practices you're seeing partners do to sort of maximize that recurring revenue subscription, that ongoing goodness kind of model?
Sure. It's a good question. I would say there's two major trends that I'm seeing, and these things are happening at a pretty rapid rate, and Wendy Barr talked about them at Partner Summit. So many, if not all of our partners, are well steeped in that well-established model of sell technology, deploy technology, and maintain technology, those close-to-the-box services. Yeah. And those aren't going away. I mean, there's still, regardless of how much moves up into the cloud, there's still a lot of technology required on-site in order to consume the benefits of the cloud. So those services are still there and very valuable. But that said, customers are rethinking the way they ultimately pay for the use of technology. And with customers growing up in a cloud world now, you know, the next generation workforce that have grown up in an iTunes is the way music is normally consumed world, there's an increasing appetite for customers to be able to define their terms of how they consume and pay for technology. So we're seeing more and more partners not only deliver the established model that I just described, mm-hmm. but deliver services in annuity models. So we're seeing lots of interest in working with our financial services team. We're seeing lots of partners want to work with customers where they offer them choice. How would you like to consume this? Do you want to consume it? Some refer to it as by the drink. Do you want to pay per month? Do you want to pay per usage? So I would say almost every partner either has an established or a budding practice around delivering technology in a variety of consumption models that allow the customers to buy or consume technology in the model that they prefer. And the second trend I'm seeing is what Wendy referred to as designed in. And what is meant by that is our technologies, because of the Internet Things, are enabling or being built into solutions where, you know, we've always been known as the company behind the drywall, the routers, the switches, the servers, all of the things that sit, you know, behind a wall that most people don't get to see. But because everything is becoming so hyper-connected, our technologies are showing up more and more inside, could be police cars, trains, airplanes, large excavation devices. And as a result, it means we're working with other kinds of partners, engineering firms, design firms, construction firms, because the value of the Cisco network and security and our longstanding capabilities around quality of service and the ability to deliver a superior network experience, that's becoming embedded in more and more different technologies, applications, and different kinds of infrastructure than just IT. And as a result, those companies are becoming different kinds of partners to us as they acquire technologies from us, from our partners, ultimately. And it gets designed into solutions that they are then selling to their customers, where it's an assembly of a variety of components, some of which come from us.
All right, great. Wanted to switch to talk a little bit about 2017 and get your thoughts on, you know, what you're thinking about, what Cisco's focusing on as we head into 2017. What are some of the big issues that you see on the horizon?
I think there's two or three things that are really exciting looking out into next year. And that is, I mean, the things that we just talked about, I think that those trends continue and continue to accelerate. Mm-hmm. Two, I think that are really exciting is, if you look at our Meraki line, I think we're just getting started. And we've had explosive growth with Meraki, but there's clearly an appetite among our partners and among our customers to have access to technology where they can decide how much they want to take on themselves and how much of it they want to be able to leverage in the cloud, i.e. the Meraki dashboard and the management capabilities that brings to the table. So the convenience and the flexibility of that technology, it's a hit. So I think we're going to see continued rapid acceleration of that line. I think that the Meraki-like functionality, I expect that to become more pervasive across a number of different technologies that we have. So I think looking at it next year, as I said, I think we're just getting started. And secondly, I think that's giving us even faster access to a broader number of customers. We've had a long-standing record of success among a variety of customers, many of which you've heard of, the larger retailers, the banks, the insurance companies, the manufacturers. But with Meraki, it's also unlocked access to a whole other set of customers that we've always done business with. I think we're just doing more business with them and doing business faster, because if you look in the Tier 2 and a lot of our partners that work with a lot of the smaller companies in Canada, I think we're seeing more and more customers choose our partners that, you know, lead with Cisco and lead with Meraki, because the ease of deployment, the ease of use, it's just a hit. And I think that along with that, our collaboration solutions as Spark really starts to take off. I think it's another big opportunity on the horizon for our partners. So we talked a little bit about earlier, a lot of those close-to-the-box services, still normal, they're normal, still critical services, and a lot of customers will continue to use those technologies in the way that they have and just enjoy the, you know, the increased functionality that we bring. But there's a whole other set of customers that are going to want to consume collaboration from the cloud, right? And I think that because Spark is just so well-suited for those customers, in particular, some of the smaller and medium customers, as we get that product accelerating into market, I think it's going to just continue to grow our share with our partners in what we typically call our territory business in Cisco. So a lot of those smaller to medium companies, I think we're going to see a rapid expansion of Cisco in that market in 2017.
Okay, brilliant. As you're talking to partners in the back end of 2016 and 2017, curious what you feel is the mood. What are they thinking about their prospects for 2017? What do they think about the economic prospect for 2017? Just generally, what's kind of the buzz out in the channel?
I would say that there's a cautious optimism out there, and let me be clear what I mean by that. I think 2016, we introduced a lot. You know, Meraki started to really become mainstream. We announced Spark and really started to start to drive it into their practices. I think that they see the potential and the interest is strong. You know, we're still growing, and the business is still good. The IT business is a great place to be. I don't know why anybody would want to work but in IT. It's the best business you could possibly choose. And I think a lot of our partners are still excited about their opportunities. But I also think that they recognize the fact that it's an industry in transition. We talked about cloud. We talked about the Internet of Things. And that's meaning a lot of our partners are reinventing their business. So something that I've been very clear about and continue to focus on relentlessly with our partners, it means really, really focusing with our partners on profitability and committing to be supportive of them and ensuring that they're maximizing their profitability and partnering with us. It's critical, because profitable businesses are the businesses that can reinvest in themselves to go through some of these transitions that we're all going through right now. So I think our partners expect us to remain committed to their profitability. We absolutely are. I think they expect us to take a leadership role with them in helping them think through and strategize, transforming from a traditional services world into the new annuity services that we just talked about, and we are committed to that. And I believe that there's a general sense of optimism, but I think that they also recognize we have a lot of work ahead of us in order to navigate these different opportunities. And I think that at the end of the day, we're in a good place. I think that our partners, and when I listen to them, they think they believe in Cisco. We believe in them. And I believe our partner community is just going to get stronger in 2017.
Okay. Before we wrap this up, just wanted to throw it open to you for any parting shots or shout outs you may have for the channel before we end this.
Well, I mean, I'd be remiss if I just didn't wish everyone a fantastic holiday. I mean, we're right in the middle of the solstice, I guess that they call it, last night. So we're in the shortest day of the year, which means that Christmas is upon us. So, I mean, I want to wish everyone a fabulous holiday season. I think 27 is going to be an amazing year. I'm excited at what is ahead for all of us. Without a doubt, I want to thank all of the partners for choosing Cisco, the work that we've done together to change the world, and the work that we're going to do in the upcoming years. So I'm excited by what the future holds for all of us. I wish everyone a safe and happy break, and here's to 2017.
All right, a great note to end it on. Thank you very much for your time, Mark.
You bet. Thanks so much.
So there you have it, a look back at 2016 and a look forward to 2017 directly from Cisco Canada Channel Chief Mark Collins. I'd like to thank Mark and Cisco for their continuing sponsorship of the site, helping us bring all of this to you over the course of the year. The New Year's podcast series continues next week, when next Tuesday, January 17th, we'll introduce you to the new channel chief from Dell EMC Canada, Deanna Thompson. We'll talk about her background, her new role, and what Canadian partners can expect from Dell EMC in 2017. But until then, I'm Robert Dunn for ChannelBuzz.ca, and I'll see you around the channel.